Here, let's continue off the page. Nun Dalet. I apologize to those who do not have a handout. Just listen along. It's very, just listen along to the topic. This halacha discusses the mitzvah to give toichacha from the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. Hacheach tochichas amisecha mitzave oisanu. In this pasuk, in Vayikra, Perek Yutes pasuk, Gizan HaKadosh Baruch has commanded us, Lechich kolecha miyishol, shemisyoish umisatzel ba'atzel. It's very interesting how he describes, it's very fascinating how he describes the mitzvah of Hacheach. There's a lot of hidden gems inside the words of the Sefer Chasidim. Who are you giving Musar to? The person you're giving Musar to is the person who has given up on himself or is lazy. Two different types of people. When a person does not do an aver, you have to ask a psychologist, why don't you do the mitzvah? You've been trained from the time you've been in kindergarten that you're supposed to do Hashem's mitzvahs. So why do you talk during davening? Why do you speak Lashon Hara? Why are you not nizer in kashrus? Why do you do the aveira? So he tells us there are two reasons why a person does an aveira. Either because he's shemisyaish. He has given up. For what purpose should I do the mitzvah? What am I going to gain out of this? Gain your shemayim. I'm a goner. I'm a goner. There's nothing left for me. There's nothing left for me to accomplish. Or umisatzel ba'atzmai. A person is just lazy. Okay, lazy. Afilu mi'achas min ha-mitzvahs reish memches haseh. Now he says something over here which opens up a whole world. And that is, the mitzvah of toichacha, don't be misled to think it's only on a loy saseh. This is a very, very fascinating insight that you're not going to get by reading other svarim so quickly. It doesn't say it explicitly. We are brainwashed to think that there's no difference between giving mussar to a person who's doing an aveira to a person who's not doing a mitzvah saseh. In our minds, in my very small, limited mind, I would think if a person doesn't wear tefillin, so there's a mitzvah to give him mussar. But will you not? It's a separate issue. Okay, if we don't really give mussar today. But if I would give mussar, I have in front of me two people. One person is not eating kosher. He comes every day to the kollel. And it says McDonald's. He has a nice a McDonald's sandwich every day. You're doing an aver, eating nevela, you're eating basa b'cholov, you're doing a terrible aver. Another guy sits in front of me, doesn't put on tefillin. So in my mind, they're the same. There's a mitzvah of choycheach, choycheach es amisecha, to give mussar to a person who's not doing a lois, who's in violation of a lois asei. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher. And you are in violation, this other person, of not being mekayim a mitzvah asay of putting on tefillin. The Sefer Chasidim here presents, even the person that is not doing a mitzvah asay, you should give him mussar also. Who is he? What is he trying to say? He's coming to reject those who hold the mitzvah hecheach tochiach is only when a person is in violation of a lois asay. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher. You better stop. I'm going to beat you up. But you're not wearing tefillin. You don't put on a mezuzah. You don't come to davening. You don't wear tzitzis. Okay, you're a fine person. Maybe you're not even a Shomer Shabbos. Okay, I mean, they didn't mean Mechal Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos, let's not talk about it. It's a little more complicated. You're not doing a mitzvah saseh. All right, so you don't do a mitzvah saseh. So you don't do it. There's no obligation for me to give mussar to a person who is in violation of not being mekayim a positive mitzvah. The mitzvah of echeach to echeach is only for a person who is in violation of a loisaseh. Now you have to remember, the Sefer Chasidim is not halacha. We're using it as a springboard for halacha. He's coming to teach us chumros in yonei chasidus. You should go the extra mile. He almost means to say, maybe make your hadin only mechuyev to give musar to a person who's in violation of a lois asay, but to give musar to a person who's not in the kaima mitzvah asay, that's none of your business. None of your business. But I'm telling you, if you're a chosid, if you're on my team, and you want to go the extra mile with nivashir asadin, give musar. That's what he says. So now that opens up our curiosity. Listen, you know, not everyone is ready for chasidus. Tell me, what's the bottom line? What is the halacha? Is this just chasidus, or is this takala halacha yimuchud yimusar
on even a mitzvah sasein. Why should there be a difference? So that's very fascinating. We'll come to that in a moment.
There is a difference. A lo sasein you could be a witness to, but a mitzvah sasein he doesn't do.
The Gemara talks. The Gemara discussed that exactly your question, and the Gemara says there's also a possibility to be. You know, you're saying is how do you know he didn't do it?
How do you know he didn't do it? He could be there when he's not.
The Gemara mentions this. The Gemara mentions exactly your argument. The Gemara says it's possible where you watch him the entire day. You don't let him out of your sight. From the time the sun rises until the sun sets, you did not see him put on tzitzis. So it is possible. It's possible. I'm with you the entire day from beginning to end. I did not see you wear tzitzis the entire day. It's not possible. It's not possible to secretly put on the tzitzis. I'm watching you the whole day. So there are every single mitzvah you can construct a scenario where you know as a fact the person did not do the mitzvah saseh. And secondly, who says you have to know exact? Circumstantial evidence is also in halacha more often than not sufficient. You know a person, you know he doesn't wear tzitzis. Is it really reasonable that you're going to go home, you're going to find under his mattress somewhere, secretly puts on towels and tefillin every single day? Come on. We know this guy. We know who he is. We hung out with him quite a bit. We're certain he doesn't wear towels and tefillin every day. Okay, sometimes circumstantial evidence is sufficient as well. Sometimes not. And where it's not, you can always construct a scenario where you have a day re'iyah that he did not, was not in the kind of mitzvah saseh. But let's go further. So therefore he writes over here, Yimuchiv afilu, these words are unbelievable. Afilu, even, me'achas min ha-mitzvahs reish memches saseh, 240 saseh, period, oishahoya al-achas, that's a given. Certainly the person is a violation of the lois saseh. We'll come to the footnotes in a few moments. Let's read what he says. Chachamim, kol mi sheyesh biyodei la'asoyis ulechiyach al mitzvah saseh v'al mitzvah lois saseh. Now, he's, even though he said the word afilu, he says anyone that has the ability to give mussar and chooses not to do so, l'shum yishol sheba'olam, v'nisyayesh, and you give up hope, melechiyach, of giving musr to this individual, nenash al kulam. You are punished al kulam. Now, what does this mean? This means on the whole world. Is that what it means? Well, we read the words one more time. Call me sheyesh la'asoyz l'chich l'shum yis, one person. There's only one person in this world who I can make a difference upon. And I chose not to. Not only will I be held accountable for not giving musa to that one person, I will be guilty of not giving musa to the entire world. That's an amazing idea. I mean, who's going to give musa today? You're shouting into the wind, giving musa. What? Well, he was criticized. Well, it's not so simple. He built the teva. I mean, Chazal do say he did give musa. The teva is very complicated. The question was, did he do enough? They do enough.
Didn't Rav Shach give Musa?
Rav Shach?
Yeah, didn't he? He spoke about all different issues and.
Okay, so fine, all right, whatever. Everyone is different. Let's not discuss individuals. But it says here, very fascinating Chazal, you don't give Musa even to one person, then you're going to be held accountable for the whole world. And even though you'll argue, who am I to give Musa to the whole world? You're right. But by not giving musr even to those people who you could give musr to and who would listen to you, who are receptive to your rebuke, that's a revelation that you really don't care about anyone. And therefore, the answer, the excuse that the world is not listening, I'm shouting into the wind, is not an answer. Because if that really is your answer, the people who wouldn't be listening to you, they you should have given musr, they would have been receptive. Now let's go further. Then he goes further. If you have the ability to give musa to your own family, you'll be held accountable. There are people that have an audience, a worldwide audience. The president of the United States, whatever he says, the whole world listens. It's in the papers every day. The most biggest tweet. When he tweets, he has followers. I can stand on my head and do somersaults.
I couldn't even forget one follower on my tweet, in my Twitter account. But the President of the United States...
He doesn't say it, they say he's saying
that. Okay, okay, explain it, please. It's too much, too much. I can't hear myself.
You consider this
Moshe? What I'm doing now? No. No. Definitely not. I'm asking a favor. Let's say you give a person mussar. When are you allowed to call it quits? I told him once. I'm a mechuyev to tell him twice. And to give him mussar a second time. Yeah, I'm reading the Gemara. It says minayin lemachich pamachas sheyachzor. You should repeat the Moses Shneamar, Hoicheach Toicheach Esam Yisachel. The fact that the pasuk repeats the expression twice is a limud to tell a person give Moser multiple times until the person finally listens. V'chayev hamuchich leuchich b'dvarav kifim midoysav shel hanoichach. You have to custom tailor your words to the recipient. What works, the type of musa that works for some people does not work for other people. And everyone on their level, there's a certain person today, there's a certain person today who is a very, very successful person. And unfortunately, someone recorded one of his lectures where he was dealing with the type of people that he works with. And it went viral. And people were shocked at the things that he said and how he what he said and how he said it, and people were just in shock, but they don't realize that his clientele, it works, and that's what they need to hear. Okay, and no one else is doing it, and no one else would even want to do would work with the types of people that he works with. And the internet, you know, it's a real curse in a way where everyone is under scrutiny, everything is public knowledge, and people don't understand that. Exactly what it says here, that what works for one person, you talk to teenagers, the musa you give teenagers is not the same musa you give adults. It's not the musa you give children. You work with girls, it's not the same language you use when you talk to boys. Talk to boys, not with girls. When you talk to people that are we're never from, it's not the same language you speak to people who come from families that were Shemit Har Mitzvot and one of the Derech. Every situation is unique, and what works for one gender, one group, one type of situation to another group, another type of situation is poison. And people, unfortunately, don't understand that.
Just like that,
well, it depends. Everyone is whatever it is. So
but there are people who win, but there are people who are very successful.
Right.
And generally, they win everybody over.
Very few. Really? Is that really so? Today, yeah, we live in a world that where you find more and more, there's no one size that fits all. We're becoming so splintered, so, there's, like, you don't find today, like, even let's say public speakers. It used to be there were certain public speakers which everyone enjoyed. Today, it's very hard to find one person that appeals to everyone. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
They are very successful people, but it's a certain niche.
Yeah.
It's a niche, and to find one, everyone is enamored by this public speaker, less and less. Yeah, people have 1,000 people. Wow, 1,000 people. Used to be the whole world. Go back 25 years ago. So today, an audience online, 1,000 people, is not necessarily such a big deal in certain circles. But the one that's good for this 1,000 people is poison for a different group of 1,000 people. So, you know, it's a different type of world today. Let's go further. If he's very gentle, very sensitive, you have to be very careful. If he's very tough, you got to scream hard at him. You have to give him a shalom. You have to come upon him on page Munhei. Allah, Yavai Loi, Roy Lahashiv Daitai El Ritzainai, a person who approaches an individual which needs Musa, you have to know what to say. You have to know how to speak to him. Velo Yisa Pnezakin, Vagal, you should not show favoritism. Just because a person is a widely respected person, he's great, or he's an older person, if he's guilty, he's guilty. Don't go and give him a pass. If a person has done something that is a Chil Hashem, just because he's a very famous person, there's no excuse. The loyisa pnei zakim v'gadolim yirtze shlo yikabel teichacha if he's in period. Yirtze shlo yikabel teichacha olav miyashrei almasav ro'im. If you don't want that he should curse you, so then you should give him musar almasav ro'im v'loyisa ponim klau afilu l'rav. How does he ruin the v'loyisa pnei zakim v'gadol? Im yirtze shlo yikabel teichacha. I love miyashoy al maysav roim v'loyisa ponim. Okay, you don't attack the person. That's a very important approach in Musar. Don't attack the person. You attack what he has done. You attack the actions. You're a great person. You're a wonderful person. But this particular act of conduct is not acceptable. There are different. Some people you tell you're rotten through and through. There's something wrong with you from end to end. That, he says, is not a proper approach. You have to approach the specific thing that he is doing. This, you have to show, is not correct according to the Torah. But you're a wonderful person. There's nothing wrong with you. Okay, there's a very different approach. Interesting. This is Paul of knowledge. I'm not telling you any chidushim. This fantastic book that I read, the difference between Lubavitch and Satmar. Lubavitch and Satmar. So they both. So the mechaber of this book, Dolphin, is that his name? Is that his name? He wrote many books.
Dolphin.
So he has many books. He's a Lubavitch Chassid, a Fabrenta Lubavitch Chassid, a real Lubavitch Chassid. He wrote many, many books. They're just out of this world about Chabad, the history of Chabad. All different things about Chabad, and then lately he's been written some books comparing Chabad to Lakewood, Chabad and Lakewood, the Lubavitch Rebbe and Lakewood, and Chabad and Chabad versus Satmar, other related. So he writes about the Lubavitch Rebbe's approach to Zionism versus the Satmar Rebbe's approach to Zionism. Today it's perceived in the world that the Lubavitch Rebbe was a pro-Zionist, was a Zionist. If you ask the average person in the street, what was the Rebbe's approach to the Medina, to Zionism? So I would say he was very pro. He seemed, he wasn't anti, maybe he wasn't pro, I take that back, but you certainly wouldn't say that he was anti-Zionist. You wouldn't say that. So in this book, Rabbi Dolphin, he shows some very, very harsh, he gives different examples, different stories, where the Lubavitch Rebbe was not very enamored with Medinas Yisrael. Very surprising instance. What? Very, Tlishkin also. Hard facts. Right. Hard facts, stories, and things that he said, which I think many people will be very surprised about his approach, his understanding of Medinas Yisrael. And he even argues, read the book, I'm not making this up, that his approach to Zionism in a certain area was more extreme, you're not going to believe this, than the Satmar Rebbe, in a certain degree. And it's shocking. So how come today the Lubavitch Rebbe is perceived as being pro-Zionist, not pro, but not an anti, okay, let's be careful what we say, not an anti-Zionist. And he says very clearly, his approach differed with Satmar in that he would never, ever, ever attack an individual. The derech of Lubavitch, of the Rebbe, was you attack ideologies. The Meisen, Mamash, what it says in Sefer HaChassidim, Meisen, he attacked ideologies. This is not an approach. But you as a person, you're a tzaddik. If Rabin comes to America, who does Rabin meet with? The Lubavitch Rebbe. Bacon comes to America. He comes, he meets. Any prime minister, head of state, anyone that is affiliated with the Medina can come have an audience with the Rebbe, and the Rebbe will embrace him, will treat him with the greatest, greatest kavod. But the ideology, what you represent, what you are promoting, this the Rebbe, it was anathema to the Rebbe. But the individual, the yochid, is a tzaddik. This is exactly what it says over here. You don't attack individuals. The person is a good person.
everyone, the amech kulam tzadikim, people are mistaken in their ma'asim, in their deeds, in their conduct. That's where you go after, that's where you go, you musaros applies. Now there are other opinions. He writes there that the Satmar Rebbe, he felt that approach is not going to work. The Satmar Rebbe went after individuals. Okay, that's what it says there. It's Yidua. Okay, the Satmar Rebbe had an approach. Although he says his approach to Zionism may not have been so extreme, but his approach of giving Musar was different. This is none of my business. I'm not a Gedolei Yisrael. But he attacked Yechidim. You don't find the Satmar Rebbe meeting with heads of state of Israel. It didn't happen, okay? You don't find him telling
Israel,
you...
For sure not.
What?
For sure not from Israel.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You don't find him, he's not going to meet.
That was his point.
Yechidim.
He wanted that.
Yechidim.
He
focused on individuals. Okay? It's a very it's a very different approach. None of my business, but it's a very different approach. And it's interesting, years later, how they're perceived. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who may have really been more against a certain philosophy, it's forgotten, because when the head of state of Israel would come, he would embrace him and talk to him and chazek him. But the Satmar Rebbe, he would never even look at these people and focus on individuals, even though maybe in ideology you can argue, which I'm not so convinced, but you can argue he was not as extreme. You can argue such a thing, even if you could argue such a thing, but that's not the way he's remembered, because his approach to giving Musar was much more extreme. These are two individuals of Hecheach to Hecheach Esamisach. The Lubavitcher Rebbe gave Musar, and the Satmar Rebbe gave Musar. They were Mekayim, what they felt is a mitzvah de'oraisa, Hecheach to Hecheach Esamisach. There are things that were done in Eretz Yisrael which are Shaloi Kehalacha, Keneged the Hashkafa of Torah. That's clear. No one's going to argue on those points. There are certain things that there's no question about it. That's how it is. This is the reality of this world. And they were Gedolei Yisrael. They had a world audience. They had an audience among Klal Yisrael. They were Mekayim, a mitzvah, deraisa, hoicheach, toicheach, es amisecha. They had a different approach to how they were Mekayim the mitzvah. Very, very different approach. A chunk of his book describes their different approach in this mitzvah. And everything is cited and sourced, chapter and verse. And now when we look back 50, 60 years later of their legacy, it's very, very fascinating as where their machaneh stands. The machaneh of Satmar has become even more extreme to a certain degree. And the machaneh of Lubavitch has certainly softened up a lot more than what you read, what the Rebbe said about Medinas Yisrael. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. And their source, their leader, was Mekayim Mitzvah De'araisa, that the Mechuyif, to speak out against things that are clearly L'chol Hadeus, Shaloi Kehalocha and Kneged the Hashkaf of Torah. It's just fascinating, the ripple effect of a manik being mekayim hoicheach toicheach esamisach. And chas v'shom, I don't mean anything to say anything big. I'm not in my business. I'm not even a peanut butter can I get. This Gedolei Yisrael, but you have to understand, you know, you're living in a world today, you have a right to participate in understanding what's going on in this world. Yeah? What do you want to say?
But when you discipline a child, you don't discipline the person, you discipline the mice.
Oh, that's what he says. Okay, but even when you discipline the Maisa, how do you go about disciplining the Maisa? Okay, it's a very important words of what he says over here, and the words over here, you mekayim the halacha, but you have to be very careful, the halacha of, don't focus on the person, focus on the Maisa. That's what it says. Because the onu chayom lochich over avera, where am I over here? Higher up, top line. Years to shlo yikabel teichacha alav. If you don't want the person to rebuke you back, he seems to be saying there are different techniques. if you don't want to accept the fallout of giving musa to a person, then focus on the mass of haroim, not the person. V'lo yisa ponim klal. Okay, right, that's next step. Which seems to say, im yirza. But if you're willing to take the heat, go after the person. Kol hakavod. Attack the person. He's almost giving a license to go after the person, not just his meisim. If that's what will work, and you're willing to take the heat. If you're not willing to take the heat, so be more diplomatic.
How do you know it's going to work?
You don't know. This is super duper complex. You need to have a team of psychologists, and they're probably going to be wrong, but to figure out what works for who, when, where, how. Their anger. The anger, not the individual. Okay, whatever it means, it means. Whatever it means, it's not so clear. Now, then he goes further. Let's finish up. Over here, no one gets a free pass. Not even a Rebbe. There's no such thing in this thing called, this is a very dangerous Das Torah. He rejects. Sometimes people are brainwashed that Gedolei Yisrael are infallible. They cannot make mistakes. Whatever they say is the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is no such thing. That's a foolish, naive thing to say that Gedolei Yisrael do not make mistakes. There's a whole Torah. If the Nasi, if the Melech makes a mistake, if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake, if the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin of the Gedolei Yisrael, the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael, on steroids, and if they pass in the halacha, and the whole Klal Yisrael listens, that's a miracle. They would listen, the whole Klal Yisrael listens, and then they acknowledge, Rabbi Sai, we made a mistake. We are the Gedolei Yisrael, we are the chief Supreme Court of this world, and we made a mistake. And the Gemara says, Ashrei Hadar, in. The Gemara says, the Lord makes a drasha. Fortunate is the generation when the leaders have the courage, the will to acknowledge they have made a mistake. And the consequence is that the entire Klal Yisrael listen to them. And then what is the procedure the Torah says? So this is what you do. You bring a par, and you do smicha, and the blood is sprinkled on the paroiches and the mizbeach. There's a whole Torah of what to do when the Sanhedrin makes mistakes. And it happens. This is the way it is. So to say that Gedolei Yisrael are infallible, it's a foolish, naive thing to say. Moshe got angry. This week's parasha, the Ramban says that Avram Avinu chet gedoyla. If anyone would write that about Avram Avinu today, he would be censored in Michutz L'machaneh. Avram Avinu committed a grave sin by going down to Egypt when there was a famine. Ramban says it. The Ramban says, Avram Avinu chota chet gedoyla. By Hashem told him, you go to Eretz Yisrael, lech lecha me'artzcha me'mladcha el Eretz Hashareka, and that's where you stay. Oh, there's a famine? So you'll be hungry. So you won't have what to eat. You'll survive. You're going to go to Egypt? Who told you to go to Egypt? Who told you? He made a big mistake. He sinned. He's a sinner. Could you imagine someone today saying that Avraham Avinu is a sinner? Finished. He'll wipe you out. He'll throw you out of yeshiva in 10 seconds. But Ramban said it. Okay, the Torah says that the Sanhedrin makes a mistake. But I once told you, this is very important, you say. No, of course not. But the idea that Gedolei Yisrael are infallible is definitely not true. And I told you this is very important. So this shook me up once, and it's so true. It's so true. You have to really repeat this. It's a mantra every day to repeat this. You say it because people like I just told you know the secret. So what happens now? Oh, they make mistakes. They're nobodies. They're just like me and you. So this is the important. You say you have to remember in life. People make two mistakes, or at least children, or whatever. In the Haredi world, they make two. Number one, they think that Gedolei Yisrael are perfect, infallible. They speak the word of Hashem. They never make mistakes. That's mistake number one. To be brought up with such a hashkafa that a human being is perfect in our day and age, that's a big mistake. Okay, mistake number two. What's mistake number two? The second mistake people number two make is when they discover that a Gadol B'Yisrael, someone who's recognized as a Jewish leader, made a big mistake. He did an Avera. He made a mistake. A mistake in judgment. The second mistake they make is he's no longer a Gadol. His license has been revoked. He's a nobody. He's just like me. I don't say you. He's just like a Tom, Dick, and Harry. He's a nobody. He's a nobody. That mistake is even worse than the first mistake. Okay. Wow. The bubble has been burst. He made a mistake. He made a big mistake. Big mistake. He did it a big Avera. Big Avera. But you know something? He's still a very great person. He's a great person. And the mistake obviously has to be dealt with. What kind of mistake did he make? You know, v'chula v'chula. There's certain mistakes, you know, you're out of the game. Okay, but just because he made a mistake, okay, he made a mistake. But he's still a gadol. He's still from the gedolei hadar. And therefore, he deserves your respect. He deserves that you pay attention, you listen to him, and when he has something to say, you take it seriously. These are the two mistakes we make in life. We think we're young and we're naive and we're so enamored and brainwashed. Good. We're brainwashed about certain types of people. They don't make any, we read about them, we hear about them, and then we discover, you know, not everything is like the way we thought originally.
They're human.
Okay, they're human. But just because we learn that they're human later on in life, when we get older, we see things from a different perspective, it doesn't take away one bit that they're way ahead of us. Way, way, and their perspective and their insight and what they have to offer and their guidance and leadership is still there, secure, important, and we don't just dismiss them off the bat. That's the second thing we have to be very careful of in life. Now let's try to finish with this paragraph, and I want to do some more on the bottom. We'll see how much time we have left. Let's go now to the second line. The second line, page 1. Hey, I want to finish this page today. Shkid Amar HaChacham, B'makayim, who's the Chacham here? What does it say in Oizvav? It's Chazal. I don't know who it's Chachmein, it's Chachmein L'Vracha. B'makayim, Sheyesh Chilul Hashem, Ein Cholkim Kovod L'Rav. The Oid Amar HaYicheach, Ein Liel HaRav L'Talmud. I don't know the Rav gives Musa the Talmud. Talmud L'Rav Minayin. How do you know that a student has an obligation to give Musar to his Rebbe? Tamalemar Hachich to Hachich Mechalmakam twice. The repetition doesn't just only mean one drasha, you give Musar multiple times. It means even a student has a duty to give Musar to the Rebbe. He goes so to an extreme here. We're Mechoyev to give Musar to do those do Averos, to make their face turn white. Try that today, Rabbi Isai. See what happens. Until the point where they physically hit us. That's how far you have to give Musar. Until the point where they start hitting you. Leave me alone. They become violent. They give us, they muvaza us, and they curse us. The chayiv oisai. Before you give Musar, make sure you're not as guilty as your intended victim. Make sure you're okay. If you're not going to do so, then they'll say to you, who are you to give me Musar? Correct yourself. Beautify yourself before you attempt to beautify someone else. First, beautify yourself. The word hiskoishishu means to beautify. kishoyd at nuchaviyak hakashar achedim. V'lo ye adam manei mechaver ad asher yelech b'derech yashar. Person should not hold back from himself. Ad asher yelech b'derech yashar l'shrachik min avera. Person should not hold back from his friend. Ad yelech b'derech yashar l'rachel l'asach min avera b'divrei ha'olim b'divrei shamayim. But you should still not hold back. Okay, a person, if you, even though you're not perfect, he's saying a very important principle. Even though you are not perfect, doesn't mean you shouldn't give musa. You also, you, when you're giving musa to your friends, so you're really giving a little musa to yourself as well. You should make an attempt. You should make an attempt to be a little bit better before you give musa, but you should. But does, if you're going to hold back, you'll never give musa. Because you'll always say, I'm always also guilty of this once in a while. If you do not give musa to your friend, then you are guilty as well. Okay, now, we're running out of time. Let me just finish over here on the bottom. I'll tell you a good story. Okay, I'll tell you a really funny story. We'll wind down with the story. But let me just tell you over here on the bottom. He writes a very fascinating insight into a mitzvah say. Let's see what it says here on the bottom. I want to find the exact thing over here. It is Aloch Aleph, Ois Aleph. Very beautiful Lomdish of art. Ois, back on page Nun Dalet. Halacha Hey Ois Aleph. I don't know what this stands for. Beis Mem Shin Ches. Hevi Misefer Tevas Gamo Be'aprima Godim. I don't know. Besoif HaSefer. Besoif HaSefer. Chakir Dalet. Shenifsak. He's going back on what the Sefer Chassidim mentioned. Is there an obligation to give Musa by a mitzvah saseh? And he says, "Kevan shemitzvah tachocha hi midin arvos." Okay, this is a very, very important insight. Why? What's the reason for the mitzvah that we are obligated to give Musa? The answer is Kol Yisrael. Araven zeh lo zeh. Every Jew is responsible for another Jew. We're all like co-signers. If I, my friend, needs to borrow $1,000, and the bank says, I don't trust you, who says you'll pay back? So I'll sign. I have the money in the bank. In the event that my friend does not pay back, I am the guarantor. Now what happens? So that's, since we're all co-signers, that's why I'm responsible that you should do the mitzvahs as well. Now here's the issue. The orev einoy mishubud rak shlo yafsid. When I sign as a co-signer, what am I doing? I'm just guaranteeing that the bank does not lose money. I don't sign that in the case the borrower doesn't make a profit. Why does the borrower want to borrow money? He wants to invest the money and make more money. I have a friend who wants to borrow money so he can invest. He can invest. So when you want to borrow money, so he wants to make profit. So when I sign by allowing the loan to go through, am I guaranteeing that if you do not succeed in turning $1,000 to $10,000, I will pay you the $9,000? Let's understand, what is taking place when you have a loan? One person is borrowing $1,000 in order to invest in some project, in some opportunity, to make $10,000. The bank doesn't want to lend him money, they don't trust him. Doesn't, because the bank is going to lose the $1,000. I'm the co-signer. I'll sign. The bank lends Shimon $1,000. Shimon invests the money, and he doesn't succeed. He loses the $1,000. I'm the co-signer. So you know what happens now? I have to pay $10,000, $1,000 to the bank, and my friend $9,000, because he only borrowed the $1,000 to invest in an opportunity to make $10,000. He didn't succeed, so I'm the co-signer. So here, you wanted to make $9,000. Here's the $9,000. The bank, you lost your $1,000. Here's your $1,000. That's ridiculous. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Exactly. Why am I obligated to give Musa? An orev, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, a co-signer. Does he guarantee profit, or does he guarantee there'll be no loss? No loss. A loisase is loss. and aseh is profit. So if the mitzvah of Musar is rooted in the din of Arvos, the logical conclusion is, I'm only mechuyev to give Musar if a person is in violation of a lois aseh, which is loss. Not to give Musar for a person who's in violation of an aseh, which is profit. Isn't this a beautiful kasha? No? Why not? It doesn't mean anything to you? Because you already know the answer. The answer is, not doing a mitzvah aseh is also a loss. It's not the pshat and aseh, do, put on tefillin, you're going to get reward. No, if you don't put on tefillin, you're going to be punished. Oh, that's not fair to say. Well, the Gemara says that at times of risk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds you accountable even for a lois aseh. Now, we're out of time, I won't go over fight tomorrow. There's another very big issue about giving musa to noshim. Are you mechuyev to women? Women are not chayev. The rule of giving musa to noshim in some areas may be more lenient. Then there's another principle of if they're not going to listen to the Musar, Mutov Sheyu Shagigin, the Al Yuhu Me Zidin. So these are three different areas which each one in and of itself is a major topic. Asay versus Lois Asay, Noshim versus Anoshim, and if they're not going to listen, maybe Mutov Sheyu Shagigin, the Al Yuhu Me Zidin. And then there are issues, let's say a person doesn't know. Let's say he's carrying, he's wheeling a baby carriage. And he does not know the Erev is down. So what are you going to tell him? The Erev is down? And then what? And then what? Maybe it's better. Maybe he shouldn't know. He shouldn't know. Okay, no, that's not Shoygin. It's even better than Shoygin. Shoygin is, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you. Right now they think it's mutter. This is not even thinking it's smooth. If you'll tell them that the Erev is down, they're shomrei Torah mitzvahs. They're gonna stop. They're gonna listen. The Erev is down. They're gonna want to know what the halacha is. So what do I do now? And they're not gonna be very. It's gonna be.
You don't know the halacha.
No, even if you do know the halacha, but it's gonna be very, very, very difficult to fulfill the halacha, and they will fulfill the halacha, but it will be an extreme inconvenience for them. So maybe the best thing is don't tell them. Right now they're together oines. They're not together shoygeg. They're misasek. They don't even know they're doing anything wrong. So maybe there are times when it's better you should not even tell a person they're doing an avera. If you'll tell them, they're going to listen. And by listening, it's going to everything is going to take on a whole new world of inconvenience. Are you mechuyev? They're not shoygegin at this moment in time. They're misasking. They don't even know what's going on. That's already fourth dimension of maybe when you should not give a person musar. So giving musar is extremely complicated. Aseh, lois aseh, will they listen, not listen? And then we have this thing, this noshim, shoygin, almezidin, in the case of misasking. I'll tell you this is a very funny story. One day, I want to talk about continue from last week. Whiskey, scotch. I'm talking about scotch. But let's just wind down and tell you a very funny story. Okay, this is, I really will turn off the tape. I want to record this.